All right. Hey, welcome everybody. I don't think this is working, right?
No.
No? So, my name's Chuck McCoskey, and I'm here to introduce my friend Pat Richardson. But before he comes up, we want to give a hand to Mr. Anonymous and our ladies that served us today. The next 3 weeks, another friend is coming, and he has shared his testimony here, Terry Querry. And Terry is a pastor of the church on the corner. I know where it's at, but I can't think of the name of it.
Gaino
and Buckeye Street. What is the name of it, Seth?
Christian Fellowship Ministry.
Yes, Christian Fellowship Ministry. But today, I'm telling you, this guy right here is a man that was transformed through the power of God, through God's grace and forgiveness, and he's going to share his story with us. And I'm just telling you, you're in for a treat, man. This guy's got a great story, yeah.
And
there you go. Thank you for your encouragement. All right, Pat, let's pray in. Father God, I just first of all want to thank you for who you are in our lives and for what you do in our lives and how you make yourself real to us every day if we're just paying attention. And if we're following and obedient to the Holy Spirit, God, then we can be in your presence all the time. And I thank you for that. Thank you for that gift. Thank you for my friend Pat and the gifts that you've given to him and the way you've worked in him and are working through him. God, I just pray your anointing on him today. I pray that he'll follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, share what you've given him to share, and know that our hearts and our minds and our spirits are open to what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. You got a mic?
Testing. Is it on? This is a newfangled gadget for me. I'm sometimes kind of a walker and a talker. I'm Pat Richardson. I'm a 65-year-old alcoholic. I'm a convicted felon. I'm a habitual traffic offender. I rent some absolutely gorgeous jewelry from the state of Indiana to the tune of $365 a month, which I'll talk a little bit shortly about that later. But God is my Abba Father. His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for all of our sins, was buried, was resurrected, rose again, according to the Scriptures. He is my Savior.
Amen.
He is my Savior. God's Holy Spirit is in me, and as the Word tells us, God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind.
Right.
And I've got to give all thanks and praise to God.
Amen.
My sound mind today.
Amen.
Amen.
Because for too many years, it was twisted. It was shaded. It was shady. And God has taken that away, praise God.
Amen.
And my citizenship is in heaven. And, you know, Paul mentions a number of times in his epistles about the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'm learning more and more and more as I stay in the Word about that power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is in me. I have to use that power. That power is there. Okay? So, it is appropriate to appropriate the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again to each and every one of you, because this is something I'm really recently beginning to learn, that it is appropriate to appropriate the power of the Holy Spirit. So, I want to share with you guys today a little bit about what brought me here. It's not the prettiest story. I'm going to try and keep it short, because really what I want to talk about most is what keeps me coming back, both to here and some other groups, support groups that I attend. What keeps me coming back and what's working for me. Because it doesn't necessarily have to be alcohol or sticking a needle in your arm or drugs or anything. Each and every one of us has our own struggles, our own addictions, whether it's porn, whether it's cheating, whether it's stealing, whatever. And also that's kind of why I put the a handout of the 12 steps of AA, but to me those are 12 steps of life, and I believe that they are spirit-filled and led by God. So, but before I start, let's have a talk with God. Joyce Myers says that prayer isn't an obligation. It's a privilege. It's because of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us that we can talk directly to our Heavenly Father, the creator of everything seen and unseen. And so let's talk with him for a minute, and then I'll share. Heavenly Father, I give you all thanks and praise. Hallowed be your name, Lord. Father, I ask that you soften the hearts and open the minds of each and every person within the sound of my voice, Lord. Open our hearts that we know your love for us. Open our minds that we gain an understanding of your knowledge of your word. And Father, I know that you will speak through me, because it was prayed to you that your Holy Spirit will speak to me and through me. And Father, I ask that you put into each and every one of us the desire to diligently seek you and your love for us. In the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. I was raised, there were 9 kids in my family. I was raised Catholic. Mom and Dad practiced the rhythm method, but Dad was a little bit offbeat. But there's 9 kids in my family. My parents, fantastic parents, were always there for each and every one of us. You know, they had a unique love for each and every one of us. Three of my sisters have passed on to be with God. The other one's still here, but all growing up, we looked out for each other, took care of each other, beat on each other, but no one else could. And my brothers and sisters are, to this day, my best friends. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on some of the things I've learned through working the steps and through my walk with Christ, as to all the junk that I dealt with to get here. But I do want to share with you guys some of it. I accepted Christ when I was 15 years old. I was involved in helping get Fellowship of Christian Athletes started out at Western High School. And then slowly but surely, you know, because of my need to be liked, I became a chameleon where I could walk this Christian walk over here and I could party with the best of them over here. I went to school at Ball State, did pretty well in school. But I always, you know, once I started drinking around 18 or so, smoking pot like you do, the usual deal, my real struggles with alcoholism, as you call it, came later in life. I had my battles with it. I stopped. I went to jail 5 or 6 times. I share with the guys out the Valley of Grace that I'd had to kick off my shoes to count the number of times that I tried stopping on my own. I went to IOP so many times I could teach IOP. Literally, I mean, I seriously could. This last time, let me go back a minute. My youngest son, Peyton, who's here, he knew for a couple of years that I was struggling. He knew that I had stopped, and he'd seen signs of improvement. And then I know that he thought, this might get me back to it. But I always thought that I could be a normal drinker, that I could drink normally, like most of you in here probably can. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with it, but I'm an alcoholic. I can't drink normally. Can for a minute, the next time, each time worse than the time before. And this last time, Peyton kept telling me about this guy. He never, like, hammered me or was on me, but he'd say, Dad, I know this guy. He dealt with the same kind of stuff that you have, and I told him about you, and he said that any time, just call him. He'll talk to you. He's not going to beat you up or anything, but he knows what you're going through, and he's there to listen. Just call him. And I said, for 2 years, I said, I will, son. I will, son. That's Joey Bennett out of the Valley of Grace. And I will, son. But so my last splurge was... you know, I was mad. All I needed was just a fraction of a reason. And I was drinking, and I was drinking. And I was driving to stop by my little brother's, had more drinks. And I was driving west on 26. I had about this much vodka left in the bottle of dark eyes. It was raining like crazy. It had been raining for 3 days, and I went off the shoulder of the road a couple of times. It was like, man, you need to turn around and go back home. So I pulled off the road, pulled off on the country road, was doing a 3-point turn, and I guess I was trying to see whether or not soccer mom fans swim. They don't. They don't. I went down the embankment. The van filled with water. That west fork of the Wildcat Creek was like a raging river. It really was. It had been raining for 3 days. And the water's coming up and got up to my neck. And I'm seeing anything that would float in that soccer mom van is floating around, including that partial bottle. And I remember, as drunk as I was, I do remember this. I didn't pray to God, you know. I didn't pray to God. I had ran from God. I got to the point where I didn't think God really was hearing my prayers, and he sure was, but I didn't necessarily think so. So I wasn't praying to God for someone to come and rescue me. And I wasn't giving up on living. But what came to me was, I don't blame you, God. You've given me 1,000 chances. And the revelation that he gave me was, I said, this is all on me. This has all been on me. All this baggage and destruction, pain to others that I caused, it's all on me. It was my bad choices. It was all on me. So, bonded out of jail the next day. I didn't call my attorney first. I called my son, and I said, what's that guy's number that you've been telling me about for 2 years? And I called Joey, and he set me up to go to the Home of Grace in Van Cleve, Mississippi. And down there, I grew closer to God. I rededicated my life to Christ. I started to learn how to study the Word rather than just read it.
Amen.
And I say learned how. I'm still learning how. And I've learned that I love to learn. And I'm never going to stop learning. I'm never going to stop searching. I'm never going to stop seeking for His truth. And it all comes from right here.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise Amen. God. So that's where I was. Today I'm here.
Amen.
And so I'd like to spend the next bit of time that I have talking some about what works for me and what keeps me coming back. You know, I go out and chair at the Valley of Grace, and that's usually anywhere from 6, 7 to 12 guys. So I want to thank all you guys for being here. Each and every one of you, you could be anywhere else. And I want to thank Chuck and Andy and Brad and Rick and everybody who invited me here. I want to thank them so much because, I'm telling you, they did it out of love for me because they all already know and understand that the way we grow is to get through stuff that's maybe not really the most comfortable thing to do. And for me, that's standing up here. But I think with Him, I'll get over it.
Amen.
And thanks to the ladies who always take such good care of us, too. All right, so what works for me? I want to share with you guys a little bit. Brad had asked me a month and a half or so ago about doing this, and so I kind of worked off and on, took notes and jotted down notes and stuff, and spent times and I had done a testimony at the
Addiction Impact Panel
at Crossroads Church. So anyway, I had some stuff to go by and I jotted around. In the handouts that I gave as memory verses that we learned, I committed them to memory once or more than once, but I do still have my cheat sheet here just in case. But I was typing up this outline to send to Andy Hardy. I pretty much had the outline, and I knew that there were a couple of verses that I was going to use in this. And there were a couple of memory verses off this sheet that I wanted to use. So I got this outline typed out, and then I'm thinking, you know what? Now I want to put, I'm going to put the address of a verse with each one of these bullet points that I have here. And I've got this bad boy laying over here to the side, and I'm looking at this and looking at that and thinking, okay, I need to look through the Word. Well, as it turns out, that from point number two and being diligent on down are all memory verses from the Valley of Grace that are applicable to what I'm wanting to talk about today. So I just wanted to share that with you guys. I thought that was awesome. So, number one, keep God first, or get God first. For me, it was get God again. Keep God first and don't forget God. First Corinthians 15:3-5. For I delivered to you first of all that which I have also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then the 12. And gentlemen, that's the gospel in a nutshell right there. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Salvation is free. Salvation is free. We believe, we confess, we profess, we receive. That is salvation. As far as keeping God first, I came across this one that I love. It's in Luke, and in my New King James Version, that whole section where Mary is speaking to Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, is called the Song of Mary. And this verse just kind of jumped out at me as far as keeping God first. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Praise God for that. And I'd heard a message a few weeks ago about people can tend to forget God. And I thought, man, really? And I thought, I pondered on that, thought about it more, and like, yeah. How many times have you forgotten God? How many times have you thought you had it? How many times have you forgotten to give God all the glory? So in Deuteronomy, I've read this, Deuteronomy 8-11, actually, Pastor Charlie used this when he was talking about not forgetting God. And Moses is talking to the Israelites. Beware that you do not forget the Lord, your God, by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. There's a warning coming up, because that was me thinking, man, I have this because of me. And then verse 17 is it's like, dang, Moses knew the stuff that I would say. He said, then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. How did Moses know what 3,000 years ago what I would be thinking in my life most of the time? Powerful. Number two, be intentional and diligent. Webster's dictionary says, intentional is done on purpose, deliberate. Diligent is having or showing care and conscientiousness in one's work duties. My friend Chuck is the one who helped teach me how important it is that we are intentional about our walk with Christ. For me, it's intentional. My recovery walk has to be intentional, and for me, they're both the same. So in your walk with Christ, Ephesians 6:10-20 talks about the whole armor of God, and all through that, which you guys, I'm sure most of you have read it, Paul is telling us to be diligent about the whole armor of God to fight against the wiles of the devil, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shod your feet with the gospel of peace, take the shield of faith to quench the devil's fiery darts, and trust me, he has a full quill. The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and out of all that, that's all, the only offensive weapon we have is the Word of God. And the rest are to guard us against the liar, the thief, the destroyer. And staying connected. Staying connected to God. Staying connected to family. Staying connected to the church. These are all verses that are on the weekly scripture memory sheet. If you all have a desire to refer to them, I'm not going to take the time to read them all. To like-minded friends, for me, my like-minded friends, I attend recovery meetings. The 12 steps, as I said, work for me. They would help me if I had never had a drop to drink. If I studied those 12 steps and led my life that way, I just encourage you guys to look through them because they have made a major impact on me. The recovery groups that I go to, coming in here, I have to stay connected because I can't do this alone. I want to mention this one, though, like-minded friends that I put down there, Hebrews 13:17, because it is very powerful to me. You know, you guys all know Chuck, and Chuck has been played such a major role in helping so many of us, especially those of us who are struggling with their recovery or addictions or whatever it is. And I remember one day he was giving me a ride home. We were talking, and I asked him about his being an accountability partner and guiding others, and he kind of shared with me, you know, that he had some, you know, a number of guys that he was their sponsor, and they would do well and then fall away, and I could just see that. I could see the pain in his eyes, but then there were others that he had sponsored, and he'd seen flourish and grow, and lead to others and help others to grow, and I could see the joy in his eyes, and it reminded me of this verse, and I thought, that's the student that I want to be. Hebrews 13:17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Let them do so with joy and not grief. Praise God. So I have some discussion ideas there with you guys.
Hey, Pat. Yeah. How did you get out of the van with water up to here? You didn't kind of drop, and then next thing I knew you were in jail. Somebody got you.
Oh,
how'd you get out of
I left a part out. I left a big part out, actually. The headlights stayed on in my van. I hit literally rock bottom. I hit creek bottom. The headlights were still on in my van. A young girl about 17 years old was, and it's only by the grace of God I was still facing 26. And a young girl comes across the bridge. She sees the headlights in the river. She called her dad. Her dad says, call 911. Is there anybody in there? So she called 911, and there was a DNR agent who is a certified rescue scuba diver. He heard it on the scanner. He showed up at the same time as the Clinton County Sheriff. And that was the lights that I saw. That was the lights that I saw. And it was almost instantaneous with the time that the thought went through my head that this is all on me. And that light shining through the window, I think, was God saying, I'm not done with you yet. So, yeah. Thanks, Chuck. And by the way, I had lunch with that officer about a month and a half ago. I asked my probation girl, my field officer, if I could have some extra free time on a Saturday, so I was able to go down. I'd talked with him a number of times on the phone and texted him back and forth, but I got to meet him and break bread with him and get just the most glorious hug from him. And it was like he was more happy to see me than I was to see him. And I'm like, I almost got you killed too, dude. So, yeah. Thanks.
Praise God.
That's my God.
That is my God, yeah. I love it. All right. Well, I'll say we'll talk to God one more time, and then you guys will have a little bit of time at least for your table discussion. Heavenly Father, I give you all thanks and praise, God, and all the glory. Father, I ask that you guard and guide the steps of each of these men and women as we leave here today. Lord, walk with them, lift them up. Father, prosper them. Prosper them in the way that you want them to prosper, Lord. Not the prosperity that we're seeking, but the prosperity that you seek for each and every one of us. In the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.